Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of Living Well with Kathleen Saunders, your weekly podcast where we discuss the financial, physical, spiritual, and social well-being of everyday people like you and me. The information shared in this show is for general information purposes only and should not be used to make any personal changes to your lifestyle or health without consulting the appropriate financial, medical, or healthcare professionals. My guest today is Denise Wells. Denise moved to BC from New Brunswick in 1998 after graduating with honors in youth care. Denise spent the next 20 years working in a variety of roles within social services, including youth care worker, shelter director, Surrey outreach worker, and seniors housing outreach worker. It was while working as a senior housing outreach worker that she recognized the need for helping with hoarding tendencies among those living in the Lower Mainland. Denise started Declutter almost 6 years ago and has been working to help those that are dealing with having to downsize their homes ever since. All right. Well, hello there, Denise. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Awesome. You know, Denise, I'm really excited about today's topic with you on decluttering and hoarding. You know, so many people, you know, collect little things and say, oh, you know, I'll save this for a rainy day or this, I can use this down the road. And those things never, ever end up happening. So I want you to take us into a little bit about what you do. Share about who you are and how you got started doing what you do.
Sure, Kathleen. Let's see. I started by working in social services for over 20 years. And I did kind of a little bit of everything. I was a child care worker, youth care worker. I did street outreach. I ran programs, tons of different things.
Awesome.
But my last position I held was 3 years working for Senior Services Society. And my position was as a housing outreach worker. So it means it was twofold. One, I was helping those that were homeless find housing. But the other part was that those that were housed but were on the verge of eviction, trying to help them keep their housing.
I see.
And a majority of those clients were losing their housing because of hoarding.
Oh, wow, wow.
Right? So I was making phone calls. I was trying to get people to help them. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But we couldn't find anybody that was affordable and or really, really worked with hoarders. So on a one-on-one basis. So I ended up doing it myself as their outreach worker.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah. So I would try to work with the landlords, try to get them to hold off on the eviction while I was trying to work with my clients to get them to cut back on belongings.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was downsized out of that position, I started the business. I started working for myself. So
awesome.
I started Declutter.
Wow. Awesome. And what's the name of your business?
Declutter. So D-E-E mm-hmm. after me. Mm-hmm. Clutter.
Brilliant. And I like how you incorporated your name there. It just worked so perfectly. Declutter.
See how that works?
Yeah, that's awesome. So Denise, you know, I'm going to ask you a little bit about hoarding. What exactly is hoarding and how does a person end up becoming a hoarder?
So the definition of hoarding is the persistent difficulty discarding or parting with possessions. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even matter what their actual value is. It can be garbage. It can be, you know, how we all love to recycle now. We're all supposed to be, you know, hanging on to the plastic bags and recycling them appropriately.
Right.
Well, these people, it goes beyond that. They're hanging on to them. They want to do the right thing, but they never let go of anything. It can even be pets. And as far as they're looking at the percentage of people that hoard, they say between 2-6% of the population actually hoards belongings.
Oh, wow.
Hoards different things. Yeah. Yeah. So it's actually quite a large problem.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the reasons that cause a person actually to become a hoarder?
So that one's really interesting. What causes hoarding? They're not sure. I mean, even at this point, they're not sure. Some studies have said that over 50% of people that do hoard report that they have family members that also hoard. So it might have something to do with family. And then also a lot of people seem to have a stressful or a very traumatic episode in their life that seems to trigger it. That could be something like, it could be a divorce, loss of family member, things along those lines. So that things in their lives, stuff in their lives takes on way more meaning than it has for the rest of us.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to go back because I was having a conversation with a family member because I seem to think that my family hoards. So you said 50% of that could be from family members. It could be generational.
Generational. They've seen it. Mm-hmm. Learned behavior.
Right.
Right. Okay. I mean, if you know, you're growing up in a household where your mom hoards, things are going to take on way more meaning. That's what you've seen from your mother. Right. We don't let things go in our house. Hold on to things. What if we need it in the future?
So right? It's learned behavior.
Very much. Mm-hmm. Very much.
Oh, wow.
And like I said, trauma. I don't think I have one client that I've worked with who hoards, who has not dealt with some form of a traumatic event in the past.
Okay.
And some of them you can make an easy correlation between. Right. I have a client who unfortunately went through two house fires.
Wow.
Well, now I can understand why items take on such huge meaning if they've lost everything in a house fire before. Other times, you might look at the trauma and you have to really kind of reach through. For example, going through a bad divorce and now you're a single parent of two or three children. Well, now you're the sole person providing, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if that other parent has vanished. You're the soul. So maybe you are holding on to just about everything. And it starts out as, well, I might need this in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it starts to turn into, I can't let any of it go.
So is that due to trauma, due to loss then, I guess you would say?
It tends to be towards loss. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes it's a control issue.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
I'm going to keep people out of my house. This is one way to do it.
Wow. Yes. I never looked at it that way. True.
Right. I don't have to have anybody in. I can't have anybody into my home.
That's their boundaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so multifaceted.
I bet. Yeah. It sounds that way. Well, what is the difference between a hoarder and, you know, just plain clutter? So somebody just collects. What's the main difference?
That is actually a really good question because we all have collections. I have a Coca-Cola collection, okay? So the difference between collecting and hoarding tends to have to do with showing it off. If you have a collection, you have put it in one spot, you're showing it, you're displaying it nicely, you're proud of it, you know, you share that passion with other people. It's not something that's hidden. It's not something you're hiding from the world. It's not something that has taken over your entire house. It's not something that's become something that's embarrassing. You feel shame. Those are the big differences, right? Hoarders lose that capacity to sort things. Things obstruct just the ability to go into a room, let alone use the room in the way it's supposed to be used. So that's the difference, right? You know, collecting. Everybody collects. Just don't let it get to the point where it's taking over everything. And that's when you start dealing in hoarding, where you're not able to let go of the item.
Mm-hmm. Not able to let go. Wow. How does hoarding affect a person's quality of life and those around you? Because if you're in a family, or would you say people that are in a house? No, let me just stop there and let you answer that question.
All right, because it does get into all those things,
right?
The quality of life, social isolation, right? That's a big one. I know we're all living with that right now, so you kind of get a feeling of what's been going on in their lives for years.
Right. Yes, indeed.
They're not having people. They might be going out into the world and having, you know, relationships with people that seem quite normal. Right? They're holding down a job, they're going to work, they're interacting, but you're not getting invited to their house.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
You're not invited in the door if you show up at their house, right? There's definitely an isolation, a hiding of what's happening. Family breakdown, right? If you're in a relationship, one partner hoards, the other doesn't, it's going to start impeding on all different aspects of your life. You know, you go from having a bedroom to having a storage room now. Hmm. No longer having an ability to use a kitchen. There's going to be a lot of butting heads. All right.
I can imagine,
Depression is huge. Right? If this is how you're living and you're not letting people in, you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with anxiety, a lot of shame involved. Intellectually, they know this is not how people live, right? But it's not just simply a matter of cleaning up. It's a mental health issue.
I was going to ask, well, yeah.
Yeah, so hoarding disorder used to be classified under obsessive compulsive disorder up until 2013. And in 2013, the DSM, which I'm going to have to look up, let's see, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, was revised, and it now includes severe hoarding disorder as a disorder in its own right. It's a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And in order to fit the criteria, mm-hmm. you must acquire unmanageable, even hazardous number of possessions that appear to be useless or of limited value, yet would cause severe distress if they were discarded.
I see. Okay.
So when you're talking about dealing with family and mm-hmm. families getting frustrated, Just clean it up. It's way beyond just cleaning it up.
Wow.
Right?
There's
huge mental blocks there.
So then what sort of a person has to help that person get through with that issue? Will there be a therapist, a psychologist? I mean, you help them with the actual physical cleaning up that place. Do you actually sit down and go through? You don't go through with them to, you know, try and figure out what the cause of the problem is. Do you cover that area too?
I mean, I discuss it with them mm-hmm. just to bring it to their attention because right. a lot of them, first of all, a lot of my clients don't recognize that they're hoarders. And most hoarders don't, mm. right? So it's a lot of trying to get them to understand that and that it is a mental health issue and there's no judgment on my part. And we do look a little bit at the trauma, right? Just so they start to recognize, okay, maybe this is how I came to this.
Okay.
The treatment that is recommended is psychotherapy.
Okay.
All right, so talking therapy. And the one that they use most for it is cognitive behavioral therapy. And mm-hmm. so the things like learning how to identify and challenge your thoughts and beliefs about acquiring things. So I do tend to go into that, but only because a lot of my clients are on fixed income.
Mm-hmm, right.
And we do not have a lot of hoarding specialists here in the Vancouver area. We just don't, especially for those who don't have any medical beyond basic.
Right.
They're not going to go in and speak to a psychologist or a psychiatrist.
Unfortunately. Wow. Wow.
So most of my clients are not in therapy. I do have a couple that are.
Mm-hmm.
Most are not.
So is psychotherapy and cognitive learning therapy, is those the only treatments to help with the hoarding issue?
In doing my research, those are the big ones that stand out.
Okay.
But I think even just having going for some counseling, just so you'd be talking about it, because there's so much hidden shame in this,
mm-hmm.
right? Getting them to start talking about feelings, there's a lot of downplaying feelings. Right? I've walked into homes that have been filled to the rafters and the person's looking at me and smiling and joking about their day and what's going on. And yet I'm looking around going, there's no way there's not huge trauma going on here.
Right. And they just plain can't see it, or they overlook it.
They've stopped seeing it.
Okay. They've stopped seeing it. Wow.
Yeah. That's serious. Which makes it extremely frustrating for families.
Mm-hmm. Of course. A real big issue there. So at what point does someone get in touch with you?
So I usually get calls, I get them a few different ways.
Okay.
I tend to, sadly, I get calls from the hospital.
Mm.
And I get calls from the hospital for two reasons. One, they have a patient that they've heard has been hoarding, and they've heard their home is no longer safe. Mm-hmm. So they will not release them from the hospital until the home is brought to a little more hygienic situation.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right. So I'll get called in for that. And I will discuss with the client or the patient whether or not they will let me go in. And if they do, I'll go in, do a cleanup, take pictures, and then the hospital can release them back home. The other reason I get calls from the hospital is because they have a patient who cannot go home again. And that's because they're going directly from the hospital into long-term care, assisted living, something along those lines. Right. I've literally gone, and those are usually seniors, I've literally gone into somebody's home, taken pictures of every single thing in there, sat with them, had them pick out of the pictures what it is they'd like, and then I pack them and move it. So those are people who normally, they have no family. They have no real good support system. And so I get called for those. Vancouver also has a hoarding, it's called the Hoarding Action Response Team, the HEART team. And they will do referrals occasionally for me for people they feel have the ability and are at the cusp of being able to do the work themselves. And so I'll go in to help them downsize their homes. So those are homes where the fire department has deemed them not safe. They need to do the cleanup. They have to do the cleanup.
That was, so I just wanted to clarify. So that was the Hoarders Action Response Team in Vancouver.
And
you, could, people could Google that. I mean, get in touch with you or Google that. And
they totally can, because they have a lot of resources on their website.
Awesome. That's good to know.
And the others that call me are just, they're done. They're done. They've lived like this for 15, 20, 30 years or more, and they're just over it. They're just exhausted. They're tired of being alone. They're tired of dealing with it. They're tired of all of it. And so I'll go in and we'll just start. And sometimes it's literally sitting on the floor and going through items. Right? Well, they start to get used to letting things go.
This hoarding also, I guess, obviously isolates you from those around you, because no one really wants to come and hang out with you. Well, there's nowhere to hang out in your home anyway.
There's nowhere to hang out. And usually they would never, ever let anybody know that's what's going on in their lives. So they would have occasionally, you know, maybe a friend, maybe a couple of family members that do know what's happening, but they're definitely not being invited in. So then it starts to be a matter of, okay, we're going to pretend it doesn't exist. When we're out socializing, we're just going to pretend that's not part of what's going on in the hoarder's life. Or we end up in a fight over it constantly.
Right. I've seen that.
Right.
Yeah. So Tommy, can a hoarder live an ordinary life? So they go out in public and, you know, they're all smiles and they hang out, and then they go home to this clutter, to this big mess.
That's exactly what happens.
Okay, wow.
Exactly what happens. They've held down jobs. They're, you know, going out and socializing occasionally with friends. They're putting on the face.
Yeah, so they got a secret life.
Yes, they're putting on the face of everything is fine, I'm fine, my life is normal, and then they go home to a place where they are sitting in one spot because everything else is covered.
Wow.
Right?
That's serious.
You know, and it really it's quite unique in so many different ways, because people hoard different things. I've gone into homes where they're hoarding organizing equipment.
What?
Right? Because they have this wonderful idea of, if I get all these shelving units and totes, and then I will be able to organize my life. But they don't know how to follow through with the ideas. So then it's this nonstop, I'm going to keep buying these things. It's I love cooking, so therefore I'm going to get all the cookbooks. And that's not too many cookbooks, because there's no such thing as too many cookbooks. Or I can't part with the paper bags because we're supposed to recycle them now. So I keep holding on to them, and I keep holding on to them, but I haven't got to where I can let them go. Then unfortunately we get also into the mice. The mice start coming in. The cockroaches start coming in. Moths, bed bugs.
Wow. That's serious. I didn't even think about those areas, but that's so true. Denise, I wanted to know, you talked about people even hoarding pets. So my thought was, you know, someone who's maybe got a house full of cats. Is that because they figure that they're saving these animals, and in return, yep, they themselves need to be saved out of their situation? Well,
exactly. Mm-hmm. It's always this idea. Unfortunately, what happens is these wonderful ideas, all of my clients have these wonderful, amazing ideas of what they're doing with the stuff they're holding on to. Mm-hmm. It's the follow through that doesn't happen, mm-hmm, right? And it's heart-wrenching. I have not yet worked with anybody that hoards animals. I know I've done volunteer work for the SPCA. I know they deal with it. So I haven't had to deal with that personally yet. But looking at everything else, it would be the same idea. You're right. It would be, I'm saving these animals. I love animals. I want the best for them. But then the problem starts with there's too many of them. Now I can't afford to feed them, but I love them. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm not going to let them go. That's heartbreaking. I would never do that. I only want the best for them, but they can't afford to keep up with it.
Wow. Yeah. Right? So true.
It follows that with anything that they're hanging on to. It's these wonderful, wonderful ideas. Very bright, bright people. Mm-hmm. Extremely bright. It's the follow through.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right?
Yeah. So I wanted to go back for a second. We talked about trauma and, mm-hmm, you know, whether it be a loss of a loved one. What's the connection there? Of holding on. I'm just trying to figure that. The person's gone. So what are we looking at? Maybe holding on to the person's items, the clothing, for example, or how does that work?
It's all about the memory.
Okay.
It's all about the memory. And mm-hmm, anytime I talk to one of my clients about that, it's about, well, it helps me remember. It helps me remember not recognizing that that's just the item and you have the memory already.
Right. True. Yes.
Right. They're not seeing that difference. Mm-hmm. It's they have to have that item because so-and-so gave it to me. I cannot, that would be rude. It would be wrong for me to give it away. I have to hold it. It helps me remember things. It helps me. The brain is an amazing piece of equipment. It really is. And the ability to rationalize anything is just otherworldly sometimes.
Sure.
So it's the rationalizing. Mm. I can't let it go. If I let it go, I'll never remember when we went on our first date. Mm-hmm. Even though we all would remember those things. You might not remember everything. Nobody will.
Right.
But
the
concept that they're going to lose the memory if they lose the item. Right.
Wow. Yeah. I can see that. And so this is what a therapist or a psychotherapist will sit down and help them walk through these things and help them to realize that they, like you say, the memories within, it's not the materialistic things that are around them.
Exactly.
Wow.
Another thing they have a problem with is decision making.
Okay.
So a big thing about decision making is if you can't make a decision, it just sits there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you need to make a decision between, you know, do I need 5 pairs of jeans or do I need 35 pairs of jeans? Which ones do I let go? But your ability to make a decision is so hampered by whatever's happening with your mental health. You're just not going to make a decision and you're just going to simply walk away from it.
And
so it still continues and it continues. Right.
Wow.
So one of the things I do is try to force decisions, mm-hmm, right? You know, and I say they don't have to like the decision. They need to make a decision, right?
Yeah.
They've been finding their lives, that's too difficult, so they'll just walk away from making any decision.
Instead of doing something, they end up doing nothing at all.
Nothing.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
It is really a serious problem. I mean, I'm glad it's only, 2 to 6% of the population?
But when you look at the change in our society over even just the last 20 years, mm-hmm, how materialistic everything has gotten.
Oh, yeah.
I can only see this increasing.
And especially with COVID, people are, mm-hmm, home alone. They will gravitate and start collecting things because they can't actually go out and be social with people anymore, so they start collecting things and have them in their homes.
finances are tight.
Yeah.
When finances are tight, we hold on to things more.
Yes,
right?
That's so
worried
true.
About I'll never be able to replace it. What if I need it in the future? All of those things. So with somebody that is has a hoarding tendency, that just goes threefold. Those questions just come more and more and more. We might, you know, I might look around my house and go, oh no, if I get rid of that, I might need it in 3 months. They will actually say, what if I need it ever?
Hmm.
Right.
So do you have a team of people that go in with you when you go into a home to clean? How does the whole thing work?
Mm-hmm. So there's two ways to do it. I don't.
Okay.
I'm really known for my one-on-one work.
Right.
That I and it's because of the sense of privacy. It's really intrusive to have somebody come in your home that you
definitely,
don't know.
Definitely, yeah.
And go through your stuff. There are no secrets when I go in somebody's home.
Hmm.
All right. So there are teams that do it, and it's a wonderful way to do it. If you can get the person either to agree to it or they are removed from the situation while it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So there are some great businesses that have started up probably in the last 5, 7, 5, 10 years that go in and they do it as a team, and they'll send in 3, 4, 5 guys. They'll clear it all out for you and you get to start fresh.
I could see it definitely being worth the person not being present, because I can only imagine while the team is trying to take things out that that person is holding on to things and saying, no, 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 I want to keep that.
It's a huge, having the person removed would be a huge thing. However, unless they've been dealing with their mental health, mm-hmm. it's also hugely traumatic.
Well, yes.
So you've got somebody that's been holding on to everything, fearful of letting anything go, and they come back and it's all gone. They're going to refill again.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I want that one-on-one. They are a part of the decision-making process.
Yeah, definitely.
So when they work with me, it's everything in the house is theirs.
Yeah.
These not my decisions. This is not my stuff. All your decisions. But I'm there to steer and guide mm-hmm. and try to get them thinking a little different. All right.
On average, I don't know if this is something you can, well, you can speak for yourself. I was going to ask, how long can it take for a person to actually decide that they're going to, you know, depart with these items? Can it be, is it a matter of weeks or months? Can it even go into
years?
You mean
once they started working with somebody?
Yes, yeah.
So when I'm working with somebody, I'll tell you, my average age of my clients is in their 70s.
Okay.
So by the time I get called, they're done. But what's so sad is the years they spent in isolation.
True. Wow.
Before that. We can spend months clearing out an apartment together. We can do it quicker. Every situation is different. It really is. I have clients that will just say, you know what, I want you here every day until we're done. And so we might be done in, you know, 5, 6 sessions. I have others that I've been working with for months. I have a client that I've worked with for years now who occasionally just calls me back in to help her kind of get things under control again.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've done a good clean out, but occasionally things get a little out of control. She recognizes it now.
That's good.
And will call me in to come in and just help her get back on track.
That's awesome.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at furniture moving and things like that I have to do, I do have a couple of people that I can call and help me with those things.
Okay. Well, that's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
What are the services that you provide in your business?
So my main ones, of course, are the clutter clearing. So literally sitting on the floor with somebody, we go through everything. We start in one small space and we start going through, and I pack it up, throw it in the van, and donate it away. And a client can sit with me and they can help decide where it's going to be donated, or I can just choose to go someplace on my way home and drop it off for donation, if it's donatable. Otherwise, it's dump runs. And then downsizing, that mainly has to do with people that are moving into a smaller unit, smaller apartments for whatever reason. Usually it's seniors going into seniors housing. And so helping to make decisions around what's important that they want to hang on to as they go into a new phase in their life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I also do packing and unpacking for moves. So literally pack up the entire house and then get to the new place and unpack it up, put pictures on the walls, set everything up for them.
Wow, really?
And that's usually seniors as well, right, that don't have family. And so I'll take them through the whole process to make sure they're settled and it starts to feel like home again. And then, of course, deep cleaning. A lot of people that are hoarding, of course, once you get down to the bottom of a room, you realize it's quite filthy. And so giving that fresh start and going through and getting in all the nooks and crannies and cleaning everything up and clearing it out.
Exactly what it says, a good deep clean.
Yes, exactly. Like, I want it hygienic. I mean, you've gone through this kind of trouble trying to get your house under control. Let's make it hygienic as well.
Have you ever had a situation, I know you're just about to tell me your last point. Have you ever had a situation where someone, when you've gone in, you've helped the person declutter and, you know, you've deep cleaned only to be received a phone call maybe a year or two later that it's gone right back to that state, the original state that you first met in? Have you ever encountered that?
As of yet, no.
Awesome. Very good.
Those that have really cottoned on to the way I do it, so far it's been really good. I've been fired. I got fired once because a gentleman said I stole his ink. What are you talking about? But it's that hold that they start to think that, oh, something's missing. I don't see it anymore. And it's because I've moved something. Or he did agree that something should leave. Mm-hmm. But what it was he wasn't ready. He just wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. Right?
So that's where that whole process can take a very, very long time, because you have to absolutely make sure that that person is completely ready to depart with that particular item.
Well, and I make it really quick. Once it's out of the house, that's it. It's gone.
Right.
And chances are you're going to feel anxiety, and that's normal. And chances are you're going to feel some remorse, and that's normal. But I promise that the next day you'll still be breathing, and you'll be okay, right?
Yes,
So it's almost like buyer's remorse, but it's seller's remorse almost. You know, they're letting things go, and there's that bit of remorse. But it's getting them past the point of, you know, it's okay. You'll still be okay, because they really don't believe they will.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that was decluttering, deep cleaning, downsizing, and
packing and unpacking for moves. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are my basics.
Okay.
Right. And of course, anybody's always welcome to call and ask me for information, because I can always refer to larger businesses that really do go in and just get everything out, clear it up, and that's it.
Okay. So earlier you did mention, you know, connecting with you on your website, which was the declutter. That's the main way everyone should get in touch with you. So I can put that down in the bottom of the show notes, declutter. So that's declutter.ca to get in touch with you. All right. Awesome. Brilliant. You know, I remember you saying something about the fire department. How are you involved? Well, how does the fire department interact with you when it comes to hoarders?
So I tend to get referral phone calls, or they'll give the client my name.
Okay.
Say, you know, here's Denise's name and number, her business. Give her a call. See if she can help out. Right? So when it comes to the fire department, it's kind of twofold. They can go in and do a safety check. Right? And then there's various criteria in order for a client to get in line with the safety check, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be a certain amount of freedom from doorways, nothing impeding the doorways or the windows, so many feet away from heating sources, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. However, that's for renters. People that own their home, it's a different thing entirely. Mm-hmm. People that own their home, you cannot put those kinds of, at this point anyways, impediments on them. You can do it with those that are renting, because the landlords could then follow through with an eviction. So most people that I get calls from that way are renters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, you know, Denise, I saw this quote. You might find it. I thought it was funny. It says, all you need is less.
Totally. And the more I do this job, the less I own, I tell ya.
Wow, you know, and you know, thank you so much for sharing all this information. It's really interesting to know.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Is there any, you know, final thoughts or, you know, information that you would like to share, you know, with anyone who's listening, who's either a hoarder or knows someone that's a hoarder? I don't know how we offer help to someone in that situation other than maybe just referring them over to yourself.
I mean, you can do the referral, but I really think, especially for families and friends,
yes,
the biggest thing you can have is to be not judgmental and understanding it is a mental health issue.
Okay.
It's not a matter of they're not being lazy. They're not being, you know, stubborn. It really is a mental health issue. So the biggest thing you can do to help, have patience,
mm-hmm.
a really good sense of humor.
Okay, yeah.
And then look around and try to find them the help that's out there. There are businesses that will help.
Awesome. Well, that's really good to know. Awesome. Thank you so much, Denise. It was awesome speaking with you today. And I look forward to maybe getting in touch with you again for another topic on organization, because I believe that's another area of your expertise too, right?
Oh, yeah, there you go. See, I do it so little, I don't even think about it. But yes, I do go in people's homes and organize.
All right. Brilliant. Well, you take care.
Thank you.
And have a
you
good
too.
Rest of the day.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed the topic and found something that you can apply to your own life. Don't forget to share this episode with your family and friends. And remember, live well daily.